שלום חברים, ברוך הבא לכל מקשיבים. This is Dr. Duff Forbes, רבי קהילת המשיח בתוך ישראל. Welcome, my friends, to this program entitled Treasures from Tanakh. My dear friends, the American author Isaac Goldberg, in his book The Wonder of Words, has written the following little ode to grammar. My grammar, 'tis of thee, sweet incongruity, of thee I sing. I love each mood and tense, each freak of accidents. Protect me from common sense, grammar, my king. Where divine revelation is concerned, I too love each mood and tense. Moreover, I feel myself greatly impressed by each freak of accidents, and am always very grateful for divine protection against any common sense so common as to ignore grammatical freaks in the context of Holy Scripture. There are some grammatical freaks of accidents and incidents in the book we are currently exploring, the final book of Chumash, known in Hebrew as Devarim and in English as Deuteronomy. Moreover, we shall need protection against common sense, grammatical freaks produced deliberately by divine revelation, yield their treasures only by partnership between the willing human spirit and the worshipped Holy Spirit. May we seek such a partnership as we view a freak of accidents in the Hebrew text of the 37th verse of the 4th chapter of Deuteronomy. V'tachat ki ahav et avotecha v'yivcha bezaro acharav. Now, common sense usually translates these words in our English versions of the Bible as follows: And because he loved thy fathers and chose their seed after them. But, in my judgment, common sense would have done better justice to revelation if each freak of accidents had been allowed to speak its message in fuller content. Here, then, is a literal translation of the same passage. And because he loved thy fathers and chose his seed after him. Did you detect the difference? The English translation informs us that God loved the fathers of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that accordingly God chose their seed after them. But the Hebrew text says that God loved the fathers and accordingly chose his seed after him. Let us enthrone as grammatical king of our enlightenment the Hebrew text, and seek to discover if there be any rich spiritual treasure in this imp of sweet incongruity. Beyond reasonable dispute, Israel's national fathers are Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Again, beyond reasonable dispute, the Bible affirms that Israel as a national entity is a people chosen by God for the fulfillment of a divine purpose. In my last message, you will remember, I referred to the fact that the great Jewish poet and exegete Avraham Ibn Ezra had not failed to discover this grammatical phenomenon. In the first place, Avraham Ibn Ezra connects the Deuteronomy scripture with the divine promises made to the patriarch Abraham as recorded in Genesis chapter 12, and I personally think he is quite right in doing so. In my book, Out of the Clouds, I have recorded the seventh strand of the Abrahamic covenant as follows: And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Concentrating our attention on this seventh strand of divine promise, let us note that it is repeated to Abraham yet twice more in Genesis, in the 18th chapter and the 18th verse, and in the 22nd chapter and the 18th verse. This threefold repetition of divine pledge to Abraham contains a fine and delicate development. When first uttered, those so blessed in Abraham are Kol Mishpachot Ha'adama, all the families of the earth. Upon the second occasion, there is a beautiful amplification, Kol Goyei Ha'aretz, all nations of the earth. But on the third occasion, there is yet another amplification of immense signification, appropriately bestowed, because it coincided with the incidence of Abraham's crowning demonstration of his trust in the eternal God by obedience to the divine command to present his only son, Isaac, as an offering upon Mount Moriah. You will recall the chapter and the incident. After this tremendous test of Abraham's faith, not only in Abraham are all the nations of the earth to be blessed, but the same promise is extended to Abraham's seed. Vahitbarahu bezarcha kol goyei haaretz, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Or, perhaps you'd be interested in this more literal translation, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth bless themselves. In commenting upon this Deuteronomy passage, Ibn Ezra observes that had the plural form been employed with regard to the seed of the fathers, there would be an implication that another eight peoples, in addition to the Hebrews, could have claimed to have been specially singled out by God, namely Ishmael, Esau, and the six sons of Abraham by his other wife, Keturah. The intervention of the freak of accidents, his seed after him, not their seed after them, slams the door against such an erroneous interpretation and pinpoints the last of the trio of fathers as the human channel through whom the divine blessing is to flow. In thus spotlighting Jacob, Ibn Ezra has the backing of Scripture. For the holy oracles disclose in the 26th chapter of Genesis that the eternal Baruch Hu, faithful to his pledges, directs one Abrahamic stream of promise through the patriarch Isaac, saying, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and I will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. When we turn to the 28th chapter of Genesis, a glorious flow and glow of divine Abrahamic promise is divinely transferred to the last of the trio, Jacob. I am the Eternal, the gods of Abraham thy father, and the gods of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. On the human plane, the seed of Jacob is restricted to the 12 tribes of Israel. And who could honestly deny that world blessing has flowed down the ages continually from the Jewish people? It was the non-Jew, Antonio Ribeiro Santos, a famous Portuguese jurist, who wrote, "We are largely indebted to the Jews for our first knowledge of philosophy, botany, medicine, astronomy, cosmography, not less than for the elements of grammar, the sacred languages, and almost all branches of biblical study." That is the end of the quotation. On the spiritual plane, however, we well may echo Francis Thompson's cry, "Oh, but the heavenly grammar did I hold of that high speech which angels' tongues turn gold." In the Hebrew alphabet, we do not have capital letters and small letters, as in English. What do you think could be the interpretation of the Deuteronomy scripture if, with equal justification, mark you, we wrote all the third person pronouns with a capital letter H? Let me emphasize them. "And because he loved thy fathers and chose his seed after him." There is already a connection between the unconditional Abrahamic covenant and the divine promise bestowed in Eden's garden and long recognized by our Jewish sages as being messianic in character, the Edenic promise which declares that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. Mark you, the seed of the woman, not the seed of the man. Are we being granted heavenly grammar to form a celestial language of redemption from sin when we speak of the seed of the woman, who is also the seed of Abraham, the seed of Isaac, seed of Jacob, seed of David, and seed of God? May angels' tongues turn such grammar into gold. Nay, into faith, which in the eyes of God is far more precious than of gold which perisheth. Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai panav eleacha v'hunecha, Yisar Adonai panav eleacha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Shalom. Amen.